Let's read from Psalm 63, verse 1. This morning we're going to be going over another one of the foundational messages, and the topic this morning is personal devotion. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh languisheth for you in a dry and weary land without water. And especially this phrase, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Then also in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs 8:17. I love those that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. I love those that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. Let's pray together. Lord, we come this morning seeking your face with our whole desire. We thank you for meeting with us already and being with us in your presence. Lord, we continue as your people pursuing you and seeking you regularly, daily. We trust this time to you and pray as we're in your word that there would be something helpful for each of us, whether believers that have walked many days or new believers or struggling believers. Lord, we come with all of our cares and all of our circumstances before you and pray that you would meet with us, that as we seek your face, that we would discover you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the topic of personal devotion can be very basic, or it can get too complex. And one problem is there's no rule. So we can't give a command of something so specific. But I think as believers discover more and more of the Lord, we discover more of his ways and his principles, and then we can learn from each other and learn a lot of helpful things. Now, obviously, even the phrase that we're using, personal devotion, you may call it something else. Some may call it devo. You may call it quiet time. You may call it personal time. Morning watch, morning rise. There's a lot of phrases. I'm actually going to stick with personal devotion because that was assigned to me, that term. But I actually appreciate it because it's very broad and allows for the whole day to be involved. And here's where we can come into a conflict. For some of us, when we've discovered walking with the Lord all day, we can yet become confused with the concept of an early morning set apart time. So for example, if you discover how to know the Lord in your regular duties of the day and throughout the day, by the end of the day, in the middle of the day, there can begin to be develop an attitude against a wrong concept of a morning set apart time for the Lord. And here's where it comes from. Occasionally, maybe unfortunately often, if us Christians have some set apart time, maybe hopefully at the beginning of the day, we can tend to check out or feel as if we've checked off our duty. And for the rest of the day, it doesn't seem as devoted. It doesn't seem as quiet. It doesn't seem as watchful. It seems as if we're a little bit more disconnected. That's an unfortunate thing. And I think that's not the principle we find in the Word of God. But at the same time, there is something in the Word of God with how we start the day that actually affects the whole day. So the verses I read are just picked out scriptures that spoke personally to my heart with the earnestness of the early part of the day. Now, what we're going to look at is the whole day in light of the early aspect, in light of having time in the beginning and how it affects the whole day. With our personal devotion, we do want it to cover the whole day. We want to be people of God that are devoted, personally devoted to the Lord through and through. And if your whole day is devoted to the Lord, when should you start to devote your day? In the beginning of the day, right? So it's okay that we are talking about the first part of the day. We're going to include the whole day as we go along and see how it affects the whole day. So if the Lord's enlightened you to the concept or the principle of walking with him all day, this is a blessed thing. And no need to be bothered by starting the day with the Lord, because it's actually part of the whole day process. And if you have a regular habit of meeting with the Lord in the beginning of the day, we want to continue on in that way. This is a good habit. And the Christians throughout the ages have always been talking about this. But we want to also add on to that and see how it develops through the day and how it affects our whole day. So to start with, those verses that I read in Psalm 63 and in Proverbs 8, they mention early, but the word early is the same word for earnest. And there's a reason for this. In the Hebrew language, it's a concept. Earnest and early, they just match each other. If you're going to do something in an earnest way, you do it early. And so it's just a whole thought process. So sometimes the translation will say, earnestly. Those that seek me earnestly will find me. And some will say, those that seek me early shall find me. And they're both correct, because it's the same word, and it's the same word on purpose. Because with that language's thought process, when you're going to be diligent and earnest for something, it takes place in the beginning of the day. So if you do a term search, even in a gentle way, without getting into original language or anything, just in English, just searching early, there's so many verses. And if we went through hundreds of verses, or got to 100 verses with it, we may have the impression upon us like, yes, early is awesome. Because enemies are overcome early in the morning. Battles are won early in the morning. The consecration happens early in the morning. The worship happens early in the morning, and so on. But if God commands his servants to do something, typically they're doing it early in the morning. They rise up the next day and they go and do it. Now, I think that's a good concept to catch, that the early aspect does have to do with earnestness. And what we mean by that is, it's on my heart to do this. It's really occupying my heart's attention to be about this thing. If there's something going on so important to you, it's on your mind the first thing you wake up. Now, with us believers devoted to the Lord, if we seek him earnestly, we will seek him early. So it's just part of it. Now, just to mention the whole day concept to begin with, I'll read a couple of verses in a way of borrowing them, but in another way, I think there's a principle to be caught. In Psalm 119, that long psalm to do with the word of God and so on, a lot of jewels in this chapter. In Psalm 119, verse 164, there's where he says, seven times a day. This is just humor me with this. Seven times a day do I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Obviously, I'm not wanting to build a teaching to say there are seven times a day when you need to say, praise the Lord, right? And in religion, people can do this, develop a concept of, okay, five times a day, you need to face this way or do whatever you do and say this prayer. It's not quite like that. But here, he says seven times a day. Probably, actually, if he were to count how many times he praises the Lord, I think probably if a lot of us in this room were to count how many times you praise the Lord throughout the day, you probably end up with seven times or more. But the thought here that I want to bring out is, throughout the day, praise is going on, not just in the morning. Right? I think that's a no-brainer to us, but just to bring it out. Seven times a day do I praise you. Just as a principle, throughout the day, there's something of our personal devotion that's happening. Okay, in another place, in Psalm 55, 17. Now here's David mentioning prayer. Verse 17 of Psalm 55. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and moan aloud, and he will hear my voice. Again, this is not to say three times a day we should pray. Here are the time slots. Now, there is actually in the Bible mentioned the hour of prayer. If you remember, even in the book of Acts, in the New Testament, Peter and John were going at the hour of prayer to the temple, and that's when they healed a man that was infirm, that was lame. And there is this hour of prayer concept, but here he's just saying evening and morning, and at noon will I pray. Okay, so here are these three times a day. Remember in Daniel's story, when Daniel was praying three times a day and it caused him trouble. And we even can read into one of his prayers. I think it mentions that in Daniel 6 that he was faithfully praying three times a day, even though it became illegal to pray to the Lord because of the golden statue that you had to worship. But he continued, and he actually set apart a few times during the day. And one of those times we read the prayer, I think in Daniel 9, and Gabriel shows up as well. And it says there, it was at the time of the evening offering, right? That his set apart prayer time was. Okay, now I just bring these things up to say, throughout the day, as believers devoted to the Lord, however we start the day, it continues on throughout the day. We're still praising, we're still praying. And so when we look at this morning experience, a healthy, helpful morning experience, it should affect our seven times or three times a day. It should affect our whole day, even at the very end of the day. All right, so those concepts aside, now I want to kind of take two big pictures to describe a morning experience of starting the day. And I feel like even though we can't find a rule or all of the details of how to begin your day, I think these types are definitely pictures and types of for a believer, even for starting at the beginning of the day. And so one of them is in Exodus 29. Sorry, in Exodus 29, this is the offering of consecration that happened at the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. Exodus 29, starting in verse 38. Before you get into the all of the worship that goes on at the tabernacle, at the tent in the wilderness with the Israelites, every morning, early in the morning, and every evening, there was one solid, regular constant, and that was this offering of the lamb of consecration or of devotion. Okay, so in 29 verse 38. Says, and this is what you shall offer up upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer between the two evenings. Okay, and then skip on down to verse 42. It shall be a continual burnt offering. This is the kind of offering that burns up completely and has to do with being wholly devoted to the Lord. Because these kind of burnt offerings happened throughout the day as well. As someone gave their life to the Lord or gave some aspect of their life over to the Lord, it's a burnt offering, burned up completely. Different than a sin offering dealing with, I've messed up and I need to come before the Lord and be forgiven. These devoted burnt offerings would happen throughout the day, but here is the constant. Morning and evening, they're on this altar sacrifice. Okay, sorry, I get sidetracked. It shall be a continual, this is verse 42, a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you and speak there with you. And then verse 45. I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who have brought them forth out of the land of Egypt to dwell in their midst. I am the Lord their God. So what's happening there with the Israelites? Throughout the day, anything to do with coming into the presence of God, of worship, of everything to do with God's relationship with his people was happening at this tent of meeting, this tabernacle. But the foundational stance of the people of God was that every morning and every evening, they put on that altar the lamb sacrificed to be burnt. In a way, you could say every offering came upon that one offering. And though there's not much going on through the night, it burns slowly through the night. And you know, through the night, they are consecrated. They are devoted to the Lord. So this experience became their basis for all of the worship going on. The fire kept going. The reason the fire of worship kept going, the ability to continually go to the Lord was they were on the altar. The lives were only altered. Now, I think for us believers, we have this same picture in a literal way for Christians given in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Based on the mercies or the compassions of God, we willingly offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And with this type of offering, it's the same offering. It's the whole burnt offering. It's my life given to the Lord. And for us, when should that begin? It should happen when there's a response to the mercies and the compassions of God. This is true. If today, at some moment in the day, you meet with the Lord in a special way and you say, "Yes, Lord," and in a new way almost, you give your life to the Lord, maybe a new thing that you haven't even thought about before. But there's also this foundational constant in the life of a Christian, morning and evening, at the very basis and at the very end of the day. Just to bring out the whole process of worship, beyond that, in the tent or the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies is the presence of the Lord. Now, with their worship and their approach with sin offerings and so on, the real desire of all the people of God is to behold him face to face, is to be in his presence without being struck down dead, to be able to worship him, to be able to draw near. And although in the Old Testament types, it could only happen once a year and on the Day of Atonement and through the blood, of course, in our reality time, after the tabernacle of Christ has been crucified and the curtain has been torn and the way has been made open into the presence of God by Christ, through his body, by his blood, we can actually go beyond just the altar of consecration and into his presence and pursue him. Just like it says, "Early I will seek you. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you." When we're seeking his face, we want to be in his presence. Okay, so I want to bring up that there's a scripture that is very specific to that concept in Hebrews 10. In Hebrews 10, I think this one we share sometimes often at the breaking of bread. But I want to bring it to our thoughts as a concept for our morning. So he says in verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness for entering into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, this new and living way which he has dedicated for us through the veil that is his body, his flesh, having a great high priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, sprinkled as to our hearts from a wicked conscience, and washed as to our body with pure water." Okay, now I want to, let's take this as the first half or first principal aspect of something to do in the morning. So just for a moment, just to think about this. For us as Christians, if you're going to come to the Lord and begin your day, now actually we could probably spend 30 minutes just on the problems of being awake, of not falling asleep, of what do we do? Maybe I'll mention a few things at the end to do with that. But let's say you are awake, and let's say you wake up before the noise of the day in the early morning, and you have, let's say, 15 minutes. Okay, this is the goal. Because of life circumstances or whatever, you may be able to have 3 hours, and you may be able to do all kinds of neat stuff. But specifically, what we only want to think about today is the bare bones essential. It's just like with breaking bread. They could have a love feast in the New Testament, but in 1 Corinthians 11, he got down to the bare essentials. He's like, we have the bread and the cup. Let's focus. So, okay, if we're just talking about our morning devotional experience, what are the essentials? Here's one aspect of the essential. We come and worship. And worship basically is we realize that he's worthy. And so when we do that, and knowing that he's worthy, we offer our lives as a living sacrifice. We come and lay down that burnt offering. We are the burnt offering. Based on his mercies, we come and we say, "Lord, this day belongs to you. I belong to you. You are my God, and I am your people. I am part of your people." When that happens, and you come to him that way, you're going on. Let us approach into the Holy of Holies. I'm not saying that you're out of the Holy of Holies. We're abiding in Christ and he's abiding in us, and you may wake up and you're abiding in him and you're in the joy of the Lord. And as you put your socks on or whatever you're doing, you're walking with the Lord. But to purposefully say, even though you are a consecrated person, there's no time where you just said, I'm off the altar, Lord. Now I'm back on. Because remember, there's the evening laying down on the altar. The fire has been burning, but it's a fresh start. It's a new morning. It's worth a new laying down on the altar. It's worth a fresh yearly, 1 year old lamb. It's worth your time to say, today, Lord, even though you know, but on purpose, I say, I belong to you. There's something that happens with that. There's something of a fresh start, but also of a purposeful devoting to the Lord. Even though your whole life may be devoted, even though our whole lives are what the Lord's looking at, but actually he gives us one day at a time. And our one day teaches us about our whole life. We need to have a good beginning, but we also need to have a good end. And so we get, in a real way, you get a fresh start. The mercies are new every morning. If you failed yesterday, that new day, you can rejoice. And the weeping may have happened through the night, but joy comes in the morning. All of these things come together and you're at the beginning of the day. Hopefully you haven't, messed up yet. You're just starting and you haven't kicked the dog on your way down or whatever you do. I mean, even if you have, there's something to do, but you come and you say, Lord, I belong to you. Now in this process of, I'm going into the Holy of Holies, when we approach with a true heart, that everything's exposed. But we have full assurance of faith. And here's how you have the full assurance. Your heart is sprinkled on the wicked conscience by the precious blood. We come by the precious blood. Now, if we didn't do well with our evening sacrifice, which we'll get to, if we ended the day poorly, you may come and you devote yourself to the Lord, and the first thing you realize is a wicked conscience. The first thing as you come to offer up that your life, the Lord convicts you of something. Maybe something you didn't even realize yesterday. But in that early morning when everything's quiet, you're able to hear from the Lord like that. Oh, okay, now let's back up a step because I said everything's quiet. This becomes our problem. Now, let's say you do get 15 minutes early enough before the busyness of the house and the phones are ringing and whatever's happening. But the quietness has to happen in our hearts. And this is where we run into trouble. So if we practice this, even like we practiced this morning at the breaking of bread, we have to practice how to quiet our hearts before the Lord. Not how to blank out our minds or any kind of odd meditation like that, but we approach the Lord focusing on him. And what's going on in your heart as your thoughts are remembering, oh, today I have a dental appointment. Oh, today I need to do this at my job. Oh, today I wonder about this. I don't know how you all handle all this. Even when you go to bed, we have the same problem. We have to develop a habit of learning how to quiet our hearts to behold Christ. Now, if you have the to-do list upon you, you maybe in your morning, I have to do this sometimes because there's so much going on. And I say, okay, I want to behold the Lord, but I know I'm going to forget these five things if I don't do something. So on your little piece of paper, you write your to-do. You know what happens when you write it on the paper? Somehow it's out of your mind. Like your mind just realizes, okay, it's okay. Just don't lose that paper. But whatever is going on. And then the problem of putting too much other stuff in our minds shows up in that early morning. And this is why Christians learn to not put so much stuff in their minds. This is when we learn to change some of our music or our what we're putting in our thoughts or what we're reading or whatever. Because in that early morning, if so many other things are on in your mind, it's hard to behold the Lord. But if we develop the habit of having our mind on things above, of thinking on such things, it's a little bit easier. If we do this throughout the day, we especially get faster at it. So I say 15 minutes because about 5 minutes might be just quieting your heart. You really only need 10 minutes. That's what older believers will say, just 10 minutes. But I say 15 because your mind's like all over the place. But you sit down, you're like, okay, I'm good, okay. And then suddenly your heart is quieting. Just like that song we sang at the beginning, Nothing Between. Actually, sometimes I heard that song first from an older saint who said he would sing it often in the mornings in his morning watch, even to help his heart get quiet. So I tried that song and some other songs. I found that actually really helpful because sometimes when you're trying to worship the Lord, but your heart is all over the place, or distracted and not focusing on the Lord, often I think a hymn or a song can help you. So some people will have a hymn book or some songs even printed out or whatever they've got, just some that help you focus on the Lord. You begin to recognize some that are better than others, that draw you near to the Lord like that. So at times you need that, but the most important thing is I'm approaching the Holy of Holies. I'm approaching Christ. I'm quieting all the other things, and here I come. Now, when sins come up, we confess our sins, and the precious blood washes our hearts clean from all unrighteousness. And so that's how we're able to boldly approach by the precious blood. When that happens and we begin to come near to the Lord, we're in his presence and you're worshiping. This is the way you want your whole day to go, right? You want to just be in the Holy of Holies, enjoying the Lord. Every sin and problem has been dealt with. You've confessed anything. And with that confession often comes that other leg that is not quite on the altar needs to hop on. You know, you're repenting of a sin, but you realize I am sinning this way because I have not yet consecrated that area of my life. So again, you're back to that morning offering of, Lord, you know, I'm sorry for this sin, but I also offer that time and offer this aspect of my life and so on. So with the repentance, there's often something of a deeper consecration. Okay, but let's imagine whatever that struggle is, you're on the altar as a living sacrifice, seeking the Lord, you're seeking his face, and you're in the presence of the Lord. If this is the morning's start, now then imagine, there's something else I want to bring up for the morning, but let's now go through the day as well, just with this concept. We're going to get to this other part of the morning manna as well, but just with this concept, the ability throughout the day to quiet your heart and behold the Lord is a lifesaver. Just to pull aside for 10 seconds, whatever you're in the middle of, whatever job you have, none of us are enslaved enough to not have 10 seconds, to not even have 1 minute. Everybody gets to go to the bathroom occasionally. All of us have a moment. Just don't take your phone to the bathroom or whatever. But when you have a moment, you purposefully, or you're walking somewhere, you practice what you did in the morning. You practice that thought of quieting your heart and approaching the Lord, offering yourself as a living sacrifice. Those burnt offerings happen throughout the day. So then imagine, and also we eat a few times a day, or maybe more. But the nice thing, even in the Word of God, is to give thanks when you're eating your meal. This is not a religious habit. This is a lifesaver. You don't just do it when others are around and you know that you should. This is the time where you quiet your heart, you behold the Lord, and you say, thank you, Lord. You're thanking him for the food, but do you know what just happened? At least 3 times a day, or whatever, your snacks as well, I think you should thank the Lord for. Or sometimes you should repent. But anyway, you behold the Lord. And when you do that, you're right with the Lord. Let's say you've just messed up an hour ago. And it should be our habit when we mess up to quickly repent. But let's say you're not in the habit that well, or it hasn't hit you, but you go to pray, and you're like, oh, I can't pray. What's wrong? Oh, I shouldn't have said it that way. Oh, I should have been more gentle right there. And then the Lord brings you back. You don't have to wait to the end of the day. Throughout the day, you're praying. Throughout the day, you're praising. You're coming and worshiping. So this really affects us a lot. It gives you strength as well. If you use part of your lunch break or part of any kind of break just for a little bit of beholding the Lord, I can assure you, physically somehow, it's because spiritually you're strengthened. But it almost seems to affect us physically. You're able to do your job better. You're able to do your work better. You're able to be at peace when things are stressful. This affects the whole day. That start in the morning of beholding the Lord and coming and having a quiet heart before him, if it's then exercised throughout the day, you're living in the Holy of Holies. And more that becomes your habit, this actually trains us into the life of abiding in Christ. Of course, as a brand new believer in the very beginning, you just long for it. Lord, I just wish I could remember about you in the day. You know, I remember just thinking that, like, oh, I forgot that there's God. Oh, no. Like, just the thought even in my mind was, if I could just remember God. So I write it down everywhere, like God, and there's God over here and a verse over here or something like that. I thought that would really help me. It didn't seem to help me totally. But then I realized it's not just thinking about God. It's that whole presence of God experience. And okay, but this sounds so mature, and it sounds so beyond us, but it really comes down to those little quieting your heart breaks. And it doesn't mean beyond those moments you're not devoted to the Lord, you're not consecrated, you're not abiding. But most of our abiding, we don't realize we're abiding. Most of our abiding, our thoughts are active on something else. Our bodies are active on something else. But spiritually, we're in the Lord and He's in us. But it's when you come back to those quiet times that you get strengthened to keep going. Okay, so this is an effect on the whole day. And then at the very end of the day, when you're at the evening offering, try at the end of the day. I don't know if this, I think this is a lost practice or accidentally. It's something I just didn't know about in the beginning of my walk. I knew about a morning watch, but I didn't realize how much it affected my day. And at the end of the day, I'm going to bed, and my mind is just racing on all kinds of stuff. And then you end up with crazy dreams, especially if you eat ice cream right before you go to bed, right? But if you want to be consecrated through the night, you know, don't be afraid when you go to bed. Don't be like, oh no, am I going to still be a Christian in practice through the night? At the end of the day, it is so healthy and helpful to offer that evening consecration sacrifice. Morning and evening, the whole burnt offering is placed for the fire. So imagine you're at the end of the day. Maybe you're on your bed, maybe you're on your knees or whatever you're doing, but it's before you go to sleep. You quiet your heart again before the Lord. You consecrate your life before the Lord. Now, at the beginning of the day, you're looking forward to a fresh start and a whole day in front of you. And you're giving your life to the Lord with hope, hope for the day. The Lord can meet me today and I can overcome today that sin I've been failing at so many times because He's with me. And you go through the day. And in practice, it should be several times a day where you continue to remember the Lord and so on. But at the end of the day, at that offering, in that consecration, you're looking back through the day that just happened. You're not looking at what's going to happen in the night. You're just going to be snoring. You're looking back as you consecrate yourself. That's when the Lord begins to speak about things you never even knew about, begins to give convictions about things that at the moment your mind was so occupied with the busyness of the day or whatever, you didn't have the quietness to hear from the Lord about whatever it was. And so many of our growth experiences can happen in the evening consecration time. At the very end of the day, you again practice quieting your heart. You say, Lord, I give my life to you. This seems strange. Like, I just finished the day. Now I'm just going to bed. What are you going to give to him? You give your life to him and allow him to work with the word of God, dividing the spirit and the soul and showing you through the day what was flesh and what was not. And now as he begins to work on that sacrifice and the flames begin to burn that consecration, you begin to realize what's Christ and what's not. And you learn from your day. This is a good way to end the day. It's a good way to end the day just to not have your mind on everything. Maybe you need a notepad by your bed as well. Just like, oh, okay, I write all my to-dos or whatever it is. But to be able to focus on Christ and fall asleep is so good. And it really does affect us. But if you're focused on something you watched or something you read or just all kinds of things in your life or the worries and the cares, you know, the Word of God comes to us and says to not be anxious. But how do you do that at the end of the day when you have so many things to think about and worry about and projects and whatever it is? It's by quieting your heart and beholding the Lord and being in the Holy of Holies. All right, so this is how that morning beginning can really affect through the whole day. All right, now let's go back to the morning and use another picture that I believe is, again, a type for Christians as well. And this is the picture of the manna. It's first mentioned in Exodus 16. So I would say you can't time how this works, but typically if you're beginning by worshiping the Lord and being in His presence, then as you're in the Holy of Holies, in that early morning time, you go and grab some manna for the day. And here's what we mean by this. In Exodus 16, starting in verse, like half of verse 12, just bring out this one part. He said, between the two evenings you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass in the evening, and this is the original story of their experience of discovering manna. These are the Israelites. They've come out of Egypt. They've been bought by the precious blood, redeemed, and now they're in the wilderness and they need food every day. And this is how the Lord provided them for bread daily. Okay, so let's see, in the morning, the dew lay around the camp. And when the dew that was laying around was gone, behold, the face of the wilderness, there was something fine, granular, fine as hoarfrost. I hope your translation's better than that. On the ground, it was bread. Now, of course, they're like, what kind of bread is this? So they called it manna, which is like, what is this? Like the word for what is like ma. So they're like, what's this thing? So they called it, what is this? The what is this bread? And so the children, they saw it and said to one another, what is it? They didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which he's commanded. Gather of it. Now let's use this as a picture for ourselves. In the morning. Now this is at the dew of the morning before the day has started, before the sun is doing too much. There's bread all over to be gathered. Okay. Moses said, verse 16, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man according to what he can eat. An omer, a pole, according to the number of your persons, you shall take every man for those that are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and they gathered, some a lot and some little. And it goes into their measurings and so on. And he said, this is verse 19. Moses said, let no one leave any of it until the morning. Now he means like until the sun really comes up and is shining everywhere. But they did not listen to Moses. They did not hearken to Moses. And some men left of it until the morning. And then worms were breeding in it, and it stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man as much as he could eat. And then the sun became hot, and it melted. And so on. Okay, and then at the very end of this little section, verse 31, it says, and the house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like cake with honey. Okay, I think we know this concept of manna. Not all of us do. I didn't know about manna until I knew about manna, and not all of us have heard even the story. I recognize that. But what about for us? Manna is a principle for us, and I believe the word of God actually shows us that. In Deuteronomy, he mentions the manna in chapter 8, verse 3, and he says that he gave them manna, but for this specific lesson. And this is a verse that Jesus quotes as well when he's tempted in the wilderness. If you remember in Matthew 4, the devil is trying to tell him to turn the stone into bread, and he's starving. He's been not eating for 40 days, and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from God. Well, this is where that verse comes from. In verse 3, he says of Deuteronomy 8, 3, and he humbled you. Now, this is a description of what happened in the wilderness after all of those years. And this is Moses talking about it. He humbled you and suffered you to hunger, and he fed you with the manna, which you had not known, and which your fathers knew not, and that he might make you know, here's what he wanted them to learn from manna. Make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that goes out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. And then later on, Jesus mentions himself as the bread that comes down from heaven. This is in, I think, John 6. And he says, I'm that manna. Okay, so with this concept, every morning they're going out and gathering manna. But manna is connected with the word of God, with the scripture of God. Now, if we bring this picture into our lives and consider all the scriptures you might know on the word of God and about the word of God dwelling in you richly, like Colossians 3:16, or all the things you might read in Psalm 119, or anything about studying the word or being in the word or meditating on it and so on. How should we start our day as devoted Christians? Now, for the moment, just thinking of the beginning of the day, remember, we're coming down to the bare essentials. What is essential at the start? Not what am I going to do during the day? Because I would recommend reading through the Bible regularly. But I would recommend also that can happen any time in the day. I actually almost prefer it, unless you can set apart a long time in the morning. But the time specifically of what you need in the morning to affect the whole day is just your portion of manna. It's just this little bit of bread for that day. Now, remember in the picture of manna, they gathered it in the morning, but they ate their multiple meals throughout the day. So the word that they got in the morning, they chewed on in the middle of the day and in the evening when they ate. So this is food for the whole day. This is what I never caught. And I wish early on as a Christian, someone has shared with me, your morning word should be considered throughout your day. It will change your life. It's manna. It's not just Bible. It's not just reading your Bible and doing your daily Bible reading. If you do that, you feel like you've accomplished your religious duty for the day. And I'm all for Bible study and Bible reading and Bible memorization, but I'm also for, we may just have 10 or 15 minutes, and what are we going to gather? And so in this early morning time, so let's imagine now with us as Christians, we come to the Lord and we're in his presence like this. What do you want to chew on throughout the day? It should just be a little bit of the Word of God. It's your amount to chew. It's not a whole message, and it's not a whole study that's happening. Though if you have the time afterwards, do a study, read a whole bunch. This is great. But if that has to happen later in the day, like, so be it. That's not a problem. Early in the morning, one or two verses. When, maybe let the verse actually finish its thought. Sometimes if you just grab one verse, sometimes they stop at mid-sentence. But there's a little phrase or a little something that you read in the Bible. So let's say, I want to have certain verses for some mornings, but I'll tell you what was recommended to me and what actually helped me so much. In the beginning, when I first started to have a morning time and I realized just reading my four chapters in the morning, it just seems like something's missing. I don't get to really chew on it. I'm getting through it, and this is helpful for the panoramic view of the Word of God, so I know what's in the Word of God. And later on, it comes back to me. But something to chew throughout the day, it has to be a smaller portion. So when realizing manna is just your portion for the day, don't gather too much, don't gather too little. Okay, so then I started to gather a little bit. I'm like, where am I going to find the verses, right? So a problem can be a devotional book if it's not handled correctly. I love devotional books. I have a bunch of them. I like them. But the comments from the person who wrote the devotion can remove your chewing ability. If you read that first, what you're doing is chewing on the Word of God. Now, let's say you even got your verses from the devotional book. Let's say you grab a great one and you see the verse for the day, but you hide the text and you grab that verse and you say, okay, I'm going to meditate on this. This is great. Chew on it. Think about it. Consider it. Later in the day, read that text. It may really help you. I think that's okay. That's great. You may be reading the Bible in your regular reading and find a verse. You're like, oh, I want to consider that. And so you set it aside for the morning. Or you may wake up and a verse comes to you and you're like, that's my manna for today. I'm going to be thinking about this. But what about these mornings when you're there and I don't know where to start or where to go or what to do? And in my Bible reading, I'm in Leviticus and this is just very hard to chew on, right? And there's some passages that don't lend themselves as easily. So what was recommended to me by an older brother that I found so helpful was to use the New Testament letters. And I'll tell you why. They're all plain and simple. Now, I mean, everybody would say, what? What I mean is, you're not having to read three chapters to see the type of the picture that has to do with a Christian. It can be a very direct thing for a Christian because they're letters written to Christians. So they're in our time period. They lend themselves to something very easy to grab. Even the Psalms and Proverbs, you say, these are awesome. I think these are great to read every day. But sometimes you're reading a Psalm, you're like, happy are they who bash the baby's heads against the walls. And you're like, I don't want to chew on that today. You know, that's actually in the Psalms. People are frowning now. That's one of the Psalms. Anyway, but some of them are disturbing. Some of them are wonderful. Like the one I read earlier, early will I seek you. But some of them, you're reading it and you don't even know what they're talking about. But in the New Testament letters, so then I said, okay, but which part? So I started to read a chapter. I'm trying to find a verse that is so good for me. And I think that's where we can run into a problem. Just grab the Word of God and chew on it, even if it doesn't speak to you. The Word of God is food for us, even when we don't understand it. So let's say like today, okay, so I've been reading and this has nothing to do with what you should do or shouldn't do. But in my case, I'm not studying this book, 1 Peter, right now. I'm not preaching on 1 Peter right now. But in my morning manna time, daily, I'm doing one or two verses just to chew on it all through the day. And today, I'm sharing. And I want to just use my morning time with one of these verses that I'm talking about so I can meditate on it more and be better prepared. But I remembered at the very beginning of the day, as I'm in the Holy of Holies with the Lord in my 15 minutes of time in the beginning set apart, just like, no, I'm just going to chew on my regular Word of God that I'm going through like normal. And so here's where I'm at. Now I write it down so that way through the day I can look at it, or I type it up somewhere, something like that. But I'm just at 1 Peter 2:17. Show honor to all. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. This is great. But when I first read it, I'm like, nothing for me there, right? But I didn't say that at all, because I know from lots of experience that you're chewing on it. And just reading this, even though I may not understand it, I may not understand, what is the brotherhood, right? Or what is this talking? What king am I honoring? What am I doing right now? Either way, when I read, there's something about a believer with the Holy Spirit inside. When they read the Word of God, there's some kind of washing by the water of the Word, like it mentions in Ephesians. There's something that happens that just soothes you. And there's a response of the Holy Spirit inside saying, yes, that's the Word. And that sword of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit is wielding is there, and that's the Word of God. So then as you're contemplating it and considering it, and you bring it back to the Lord. Now, I end up just saying it out loud a few times because then I memorize it. So if you say it 15 times, you basically have a verse memorized, at least for the day. And I write it down and I do this stuff. But the reason is I'm gathering manna for the whole day. I no longer have to say, Lord, if you don't speak to me directly with this word, I'm not letting go of you. Like Jacob wrestling with the Lord, right? Now, sometimes you're so desperate for some answer with something. I think we need to have times like that. But daily, can you be like that? Somebody said one time when this was brought up, they said, yeah, but I have to go to work, right? Like, I can't be late. I have to go. Okay, but, you know, that's a good thing when you've gathered manna. But remember, you're in the presence of the Lord because you consecrated yourself and you entered into the Holy of Holies. You're not leaving without Christ. You may be leaving your time without understanding what the Word of God says. Praise the Lord. There's so much of His Word that we don't understand, but can you chew on it? Can you read it again through the day? Can you contemplate it and consider? And later in the day, as you're looking at it, show honor to all. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Maybe something comes up that day for it. But I can tell you, through the day, as this is working in your heart and the Word of God is dwelling in you richly, something is changing. Whether it becomes a rhema, personal word for you, or becomes a teaching revelation for you, or you finish the whole day and you're at the evening of the day and you're chewing on your last meal of the day and you're thinking about it, you know what? You feel satisfied, even though nothing has been so personal. Nothing has been so much of a revelation. You're satisfied with the Word of God because it's manna. And this is enough. This is the experience of a believer. And so I asked this older brother's brother Kong, actually. And so I was like, because I was really like, where do I find my verses? And he said, just go to the next verse. I was like, no way. That helped me so much. So then I just go to the next verse, even though I don't like that verse. You know, that really has helped me so much to read through letters, New Testament letters. Now, I will use in my morning time all kinds of verses in the Old Testament and the Gospels as the Lord leads sometimes. But as a habit, I took that recommendation. Now, I'm saying this is a recommendation, but I really feel it was helpful. We're doing foundational talks, and I think when we do that, sometimes we need to share as far as how would you help somebody start off. But in our room right now, we have a lot of older believers, too, who already have great habits. So a lot of the details of something you just can set aside because you already have some great thing going on and probably maybe even know some better practices or so on. But this was a recommendation to me that helped me so much because the next verse, I don't really like it, let's say, not in this passage, but then I read it and it's my manna for the day. And because of that whole chewing on it, I begin to appreciate every word of the Word of God. I begin to appreciate all of His Word. And throughout the day, this is a feeding. Now, remember, we're devoted to the Lord for the whole day. Now, if you read through the Bible regularly and you're reading chapters, this happens whenever in the day. If you're memorizing scripture, if you're studying, maybe you can set aside more time in the morning. Maybe you're a mom with little kids and 15 minutes is a great goal. But this the nap time that you got for your Bible reading or whatever it is. Or maybe your work super early in the morning, but you do have time later in the day. We shouldn't have any guilt about any of those kinds of things. Throughout the day, we're all devoted to the Lord. You can read the Bible anytime through the day. But should we start the day with the Lord? And should we grab manna in the day to chew on? I believe that's a principle we can find in the Word of God. So imagine through the day as you want to have your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. So you're You have a lot to think about. You have a lot to do. You have a lot of temptations. Do you know a verse like this, show honor to the king, can deliver you from a temptation that has nothing to do with this? Not even saying it will be twisted in some way to be a rhema word like Christ is my king and I'll honor him or something like that. I just mean it can be the most random thing. And that phrase, because it's the word of God, when temptation comes and your normal sin that you keep messing up in, maybe it's saying something wrong to somebody, or maybe it's using your time unwisely or doing something worldly or whatever, or some obvious sin. In the moment of that, you may not even have a good verse come to you, but I can tell you, pull out your manna verse and just speak it out loud and you're delivered. It just is the word of God working. It is powerful and effective, even though it seems like... Now I believe the Holy Spirit uses the word in a specific way and delivers us from temptations using a lot of different scriptures. But I've been stuck in some temptations where I didn't have any verse to think about. I didn't have any weapons on me, it seemed like. But I did remember, at least, my mind was so lost with all my scriptures, but I did remember what I read that morning, and I'd written it down, and I just pulled it out in my weakness, and I read it. I was like, yes. And I remembered the whole experience of the morning. I remembered the worship and the quieting my heart and beholding the Lord and coming by the precious blood. And I remembered chewing on the word of God in his presence. And I was brought right back to that in the middle of the day, in the midst of an almost temptation failure. And I was brought through because we are devoted to the Lord the whole day. And our beginning of the day starts and affects the whole day. So that's what I just wanted to lay before us. Early will I seek you, Lord. His response back to us is, I love those that love me. Those that seek me early, they will find me. Of course, the Lord loves every single person in this room. He loves the whole world and gave himself for the whole world. But if we don't love him back, he can't continue to share his love upon love with us. And he wants to share his love with us in the earnest early morning as we seek him. I love those that love me. Those that seek me early will find me. And this can be our portion regularly and daily. So let's worship the Lord and thank him for his provision of the morning, evening, the whole day of walking with us. Let's pray. Lord, anew, in the middle of the day, we want to offer our lives before you. As living sacrifices, we place our bodies on the altar and worship you. You are our God and you are our King. And Lord, we come by the precious blood into the Holy of Holies, not by any good habits that we have and not by any good history that we have, but knowing by your precious blood, we can behold you face to face and we can come and turn away from all of the evil that we've been walking in and turn away from everything else. And Lord, you know our many failures and the many times that we love our bed more than we love you and the many times that our minds are on all kinds of other things. But Lord, we devote ourselves to you right now. We are before you and we commit this to you that regularly, daily, we can walk in a devoted way. I pray where there's some helpful thing for us that we wouldn't see in the mirror and walk away and forget your word, but instead that tomorrow morning we can begin to walk with a fresh start in a good way. Lord, I pray for us that struggle to get up, that struggle with all kinds of things that come against us to even give us that 10 or 15 minutes. Lord, I pray tonight as we go to bed, that we'd have real dealings before you, to set apart our lives before you, and to have a good evening so we can have a good morning. Lord, with a good death comes a good resurrection, and we pray tonight that we would finish our day well to be able to start the day well tomorrow. We trust ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.